welcome to the American Culture Podcast. In this program, we look at the situation of African Americans in the 20th century. We'll have a summary of the chapter, a special bonus segment on the civil rights struggle, and some hints on the test next week. First, a summary of the chapter, Black Americans. Since the Reconstruction era in the 19th century, segregation had been a fact of life for African Americans. In 1940, 10 million of America's 13 million blacks lived in the South. Many of them lived in poverty. 30 years later, in 1970, the population had increased greatly, and many were now living outside the South. About half of the 24 million blacks in America. There were jobs in the cities of the North, and there was also relief from the indignities of segregation. But even in the North, blacks and whites did not interact much. That started to change during the war, when blacks and whites worked together in factories. They also fought together in the war. In the early 1940s, the Army, Navy, and Air Force opened all kinds of jobs to blacks who were qualified. African Americans served in Europe and in the Pacific Wars, and the 332nd Fighter Group, composed of African Americans, was awarded more than 900 medals for bravery. After the war, President Truman called for equal treatment and equal opportunity for all in the armed forces, no matter the race, color, religion, or national background. The new equality in the armed forces laid the foundation for greater equality in American society, and especially in the South. The civil rights movement began in the courtroom. In a case called Brown versus Topeka, the Supreme Court said that school segregation was illegal. Yet when black students in Little Rock, Arkansas tried to attend a white school, white protesters stopped them. The president sent the army into the South, and the children were escorted to school by soldiers. In 1955, an African-American woman named Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat to a white woman on a crowded bus in Montgomery, Alabama. She was arrested. Black citizens of Montgomery supported her and organized a boycott of the city buses under a young preacher named Martin Luther King, Jr. A year later, the Supreme Court said that segregation on buses was unconstitutional. The city complied, and desegregation was implemented on its buses. Other activities and protests followed. Sit-ins at white-only restaurants, boycotts against stores that would not hire blacks. In 1963, 200,000 people, black and white, held a protest in Washington, D.C., led by Martin Luther King, Jr. They demanded equality. It was here that King gave his famous "I Have a Dream" speech, and here that white singers like Bob Dylan and Peter, Paul, and Mary lent their support. In 1964, the Civil Rights Act was passed, but a new law could not change the deep inequalities between blacks and whites. blacks had poor housing, low-paying jobs, and poor education. In Los Angeles in 1965, violence erupted between blacks and police. 34 people were killed and more than 1,000 were injured in 6 days of rioting. Such violence spread to other cities, Chicago, New York, Detroit, and Washington. In 1968, Martin Luther King was killed in Memphis, Tennessee. Some African Americans thought violence was the answer to their problems. But many thought that getting black people elected was a better route to full equality. Encouraged by Jesse Jackson, blacks began running for political positions, and by 1985, 5,000 of the 50,000 politicians and elected officials in the United States were black. Despite these changes, blacks continued to have a lower standard of living than whites, even in the late 1980s. The bid for political power was accompanied by a cultural revival. African names, hairstyles, clothes. Schools also taught African history and culture. A black ballet company was formed in Harlem by a man named Arthur Mitchell. A new pride in being black had arisen in America. Next, some hints for the test. Again, next week we will have a closed book test. You can use your dictionary, however. Here are some things you should study. You should understand why African Americans left the South for cities in the North. African American service in the armed forces in World War II was an important step in the civil rights movement and desegregation in America. You should understand the details of this story. You should also know some of the other major steps in the struggle: the Brown versus Topeka ruling, the Montgomery bus boycott, and the 1963 March on Washington, D.C. You should know why the Civil Rights Act was not enough to stop African Americans' anger, anger that led to riots in Los Angeles and other cities in the 1960s. Finally, you should know about African Americans' bid for greater political power, as well as their newfound pride in their African culture. In our bonus segment, we look at another chapter in the civil rights struggle for African Americans: the brutal murder of a 14-year-old boy named Emmett Till, an incident that would help ignite the civil rights movement in 1955.
Was down in Mississippi not so long ago, when a young boy from Chicago town walked through the southern door. Faithful tragedy, you should all remember well. The color of his skin was black, and his name was Emmett Till.
That's American folk singer Bob Dylan performing a song called The Death of Emmett Till in 1962. The death of this 14-year-old African-American boy from Chicago shocked Americans in 1955, and the shock turned to outrage when the boy's killers, two white men, went free. Emmett was visiting relatives in Mississippi in August of 1955. It was a tense time in the South. The Supreme Court had just ruled that school segregation was illegal and had ordered the Southern states to comply with the ruling as quickly as possible. Whites in that region of Mississippi strictly enforced segregation laws against blacks. That summer, there was violence against blacks all over the South. On the night of August 24th, Emmett Till was with his cousins and some of their black friends outside a local store, and one of the boys dared Emmett to go inside and ask a young white woman for a date. It was unthinkable in the South for a black person to do such a thing. But in Chicago, there were no such restrictions on blacks and whites. Emmett went inside and talked to the white girl. News of his actions spread around the small southern town. The woman was married, and when her husband, Roy Bryant, heard the news, he and his half-brother decided they had to teach this young black boy a lesson. At 2:30 a.m., they came to the place where Emmett was staying and demanded to see him. Then they took him away. The two white men were later charged with kidnapping and then with murder. Southerners were shocked because no whites had ever been arrested for violence against blacks. People across America heard the story too, and they were shocked when they heard that the murderers were found innocent. Their anger rose. And just 3 months later, Rosa Parks would refuse to give up her seat on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama. The Emmett Till case was an important part of the civil rights struggle. For the injustice of the brutal murder of this young boy and freedom for his killers showed everyone that change was needed in the South. Well, that's all for this week. Thanks for listening and good luck on the test. As we end, here is Bob Dylan performing The Death of Emmett Till, recorded live in 1962.
Not so long ago, when a young boy from Chicago town walked through the southern door, this war's fateful tragedy, you should all remember well. The color of his skin was black, and his name was Emmett Till. Some men they dragged him to a barn, and there they beat him up. They said they had a reason, but I disremember what. They tortured him and did some things too evil to repeat. There was screaming sounds inside the barn, there was laughing sounds out on the street. Then they rolled his body down a gulf amidst a blood-red rain, and they threw him in the waters wide to cease his screaming pain. The reason that they killed him there, and I'm sure it ain't no lie, was just for the fun of killing him and to slowly watch him die. And then to stop the United States of yelling for a trial, two brothers, they confessed that they had killed poor Emmett Till. But on the jury, there were men who helped the brothers commit this awful crime. And so this trial was a mockery, but nobody seemed to mind.
I saw the morning papers, but I could not bear to see the smiling brothers walking down the courthouse stairs. Oh, the jury found them innocent, and the brothers, they went free. While Emmett's body floats a foam of a Jim Crow southern sea. If you can't speak out against this kind of thing, a crime that's so unjust, your eyes are filled with dead man's dirt, and your mind is filled with dust. Your arms and legs, they must be in shackles and chains, and your blood, it must refuse to flow for you to let this human race fall down so god-awful low. This song is just
Bob Dylan.